Johnny, you got that.
Hi, welcome to the Tell Me You Got That podcast. I'm John Lodge-Holly.
You didn't even say his name right. Welcome to the 10th episode of the Tell Me You Got That podcast. My name's Hayden and I have a Lamborghini. As always, I'm joined by my two favourite co-hosts.
Oh, Zach.
What kind of car do you have?
I don't have a car.
You have a supercar. You have a supercar.
I have a Barracuda.
And?
Sam, and I've got triples of the Roadrunner. Always pristine.
Love it. Yep. And today we're here to talk to you about The Edge of Tomorrow, which is a 2014 science fiction film directed by Doug Liman and starring Tom Cruise and Emily Blunt. It centers on a soldier fighting aliens who relives the same day over and over again, restarting the day every time he dies. All right, fellas, what do we think of this one?
I liked it. I like all-time loop movies, though. Like, I like Happy Death Day, Source Code, Palm Springs, anything that has, like, a time concept. It's like watching somebody play a video game, and I feel like it's enjoyable to see how they experiment with it.
I like how you didn't mention Groundhog Day at all.
I haven't seen Groundhog Day.
I love loop movies, but I've never seen the one that started it all.
I'm saving myself.
For your deathbed. You're like, you have 15 minutes to live. Quick, put on Groundhog Day. Just put it on 5x speed. Benno, what did you think?
It's one of my favourite movies. I don't have anything deep to add. Sorry, fellas.
Is it really one of your favourites?
Oh, it's top 10.
Yeah?
Top 15.
What's top 20 at worst?
That's to recognise that there are better movies coming out every couple of seconds.
Yeah, you have to allow some leeway there for the new movies to sneak in.
Do you have like a favourite scene or moment?
You know I do, Hayden, because I mentioned it last night when we watched it. My favourite part is when he becomes like a war-hardened, I was going to say criminal, but he's a soldier.
Criminal soldier.
Yeah, he's a criminal soldier. He did do some treason at some point. He deserted.
Yeah.
And when he's suiting up, like in that last run, and the Australian guy's suiting him up, and he's like, just give me the fucking guns, give me the grenades, give me the extra battery. And he's like, okay.
That's a really boss scene.
He's just in it.
It's kind of similar. There's like a scene later where he's in the aircraft getting ready to go down. He's kind of just got this like menacing, determined, but slightly crazy look in his eye. And because you've gone back to that scene so many times, it demonstrates how his psyche has shifted. And I think that was kind of cool how they did that. He's a seasoned action hero. Like, he does a really good job in early days in that movie as presenting someone who is scared, underprepared, not capable. You watch Arnie or whatever, he could never really do that, but Tom Cruise was able to play that kind of skittish sort of character, which I was really impressed by.
Yeah, he does all right there.
And you see that him go from selfish to selfless, and it's kind of a natural kind of progression, not just like a everything feels natural with how his character progresses.
Anything else?
Come so jeans.
That's all I wanted to add.
Tell me you got that.
The next segment, fellas, we're going to do an old favourite called Wallace Shawn's Classic Blunders. And we're going to talk about what the characters, writers, directors, or anyone involved in the movie did wrong or messed up. Who wants to go first?
Yeah, sure. Mine was mainly just focused on the fact that once he got the blood, he got all blooded up, and he got the time loop ability, he started seeing visions of, was it the Mother Hive, the HQ?
The Omega.
Yeah. The core, which, if destroyed, would end it all. But then it turned out there were decoys, and they were just sending him on the wrong direction. But to me, why would you give him any visions or alert him to the existence of a core in the first place? They basically went, oh, just so you know, this does exist, this is true, but it's over here.
You fell victim to one of the classic blunders.
Yeah. No, I hear that. Yeah, exactly. Like, you don't all you'd really need to do is give visions of something that kind of looks important into a different location.
Or don't even just give him visions at all.
Give him visions of like humans winning every battle and
Or
giving them a false sense of
useless ones of just toilets filled with gross diarrhea that benefit him in no way and give no unnecessary strategic information. No,
that's a good way to fuck with him, for sure.
For someone who hasn't watched the movie for a while, the whole point was to lure him into a location where they could then kill Tom Cruise and get his power, right? Because he was the single biggest threat. So I get what you're saying and I somewhat agree, but I think the visions still are a kind of useful tactic, but I think you're right with it.
Yeah. Anyway, he went there. He went to that first place and they didn't get him?
They didn't get him.
How do you fuck that up? It's one guy.
You fell victim to one of the classic blunders.
Like, they're so much quicker, stronger, bigger, faster. They let one guy walk in and get away. Like, he kills himself before they can get him. How do they stop him anyway? Because if they kill him, he just resets.
I think the blood has to go onto the alpha, back onto the alpha. And then
they give him a blood transfusion.
He has to bleed out, I think. Or he has to lose the blood.
No, if he bleeds out, he goes back. You got to get a blood transfusion. You got to get the blood out.
Oh, but she says that, like, she bled out or whatever.
Yeah, and they gave her blood.
Yeah, but I mean, like, yeah, you have to basically lose the blood. You don't have to give it back to the alpha, though.
Yeah, but then if you lose the blood, you're dead.
You have to not die.
And the day restarts.
You have to not die.
Yeah.
And get the old blood out, get the new blood in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it might have been the alpha thing too. Maybe there's a way that they can do it.
Yeah,
I don't think that there's a lot in this movie they don't explain.
Yeah, there's a few.
For example, one classic blunder
is
that they never really talk about how the aliens sort of start to take over, right? They don't give you any backstory. All you know is they land, the aliens land on a meteor, and then somehow take over. They sort of hint that there's only a few mimics to begin with, and then they multiply. They don't talk about how they multiply. We don't really have a good understanding of how the mimics, the alphas, and the omega really work together. We know it's all part of one organism, but I think there's a huge big gap there around just developing the lore for this thing. And also having it so opaque makes it really hard to follow what's happening. And I think it's not a classic blunder, but it's absolutely a blunder.
You didn't fall
victim to one of the classic blunders.
Anything that involves time too, you have to almost decide where you cut off, how much you explain. Otherwise, if you over explain or it just leads to more questions on questions. And
another blunder I noticed is that Rita is this super experienced fighter. She has all of this pull in the army, but she doesn't have a crew or anything. And in fact, when they go for the final mission and they need a crew, they go to J Squad, which is Tom Cruise's squad, who the general hints isn't a very good squad. They're kind of ragtag, and you never actually see them as competent fighters. But when it comes to the biggest, most important mission, Rita doesn't have a crew. She's got a pilot, but that's it. And so I feel like someone like that, who's been able to save so many people and be control of destiny, doesn't have any specific people that she can bring along.
Yeah, she should have pretty easily been able to convince people, even if she's been outed as treasonous.
Absolutely. So I think that was a big miss.
You fell victim to one of the classic blunders.
Zach, do you have a classic blunder?
I find it pretty unfeasible that when old mate Tom Cruise, they're running along and he hits the deck and rolls under that truck. I don't think that the sergeant fella, or is he major? Sergeant? He's a sergeant. I don't think the sergeant's not going to see him at any point in that, because he's wide open except for the truck. He rolls under the truck, stands up, and there's a big gap where he's just in plain open view. And he runs off and no one sees it. Well, they probably do see it, some of the soldiers, but I can't believe that the sergeant doesn't see it, because he's there, he's standing, the rest are doing push-ups.
Yeah, I think that was
he should see everything.
Glaring mistake, that one. Because it's very it's obvious to everyone. It's like, where's he looking? He must be like tiny shoelaces or something. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I find it hard to believe.
Tell me you got that.
All right, on to the next segment, fellas.
We're
going to tackle a new one called Alternative Arsenal. And in this one, we're going to imagine a scenario where instead of the full metal suits the humans used to fight the mimics, what's a different special weapon that the humans could have used?
Okay, so step one, catch one and study it. Probably possible. You know, bombarded with all sorts of things, hypersonic sound, electromagnetic waves, acid, lava, piss, calm, jizz, tug on his balls a bit, see what sticks, see what doesn't. Prod it for some weaknesses, right? Bound to find something. And then, step two, you attach whatever its weakness is onto helmets. Everyone wears a helmet that spews out whatever it happens to be in a 360-degree arc continuously. And that's the weapon.
So, So hang on. So it's a helmet
yeah.
that has an undisclosed capitalize on weakness weapon.
Yeah, that's right.
Which involves some kind of aerial spray? Aerosol spray.
Well, no, it's if it needs to be a spray, yes. But like if it's sound, it's just a fucking speaker that spins around, isn't it? It's just a spout or it's going to be circle-shaped probably, no doubt.
What if they're allergic to gels?
Spins around. Who?
The mimics.
Yeah, it sprays out fucking gel.
What if it's only in gel form?
What do you mean gel form?
Or solid form.
Shoots out solid shit.
Okay.
Then they have the whole suit with all the stores in the back that they need. Shoots it all out.
But okay, so how is that different to having big guns that kill them?
Because they're pretty ineffective a lot of the time. Their biggest weakness.
So the difference is that it continuously blows out whatever it is.
Yeah. So there's no way they can get to them. Because if there's like 100 soldiers all doing this, every angle is covered at all times, most likely, because there's so many. Because there's so many spinning around.
So they're spraying onto each other and protecting each other.
Yeah, that's right. And that's the other part. If it is like a liquid or lava, if it's lava, they're kind of fucked. But if it's just like a liquid, it's, you know, mostly harmless to humans. That's all right. By getting covered in it, they're protecting themselves further.
Just dress in a tarp. Get a tarp. Cut a little hole in the tarp. Put the tarp over you. You're good.
What does that do?
Protects you from the
lava.
Lava, yeah. So,
otherwise, if it's lava, like, they'll try to keep their distance, but they'll try to go in and help one another. Like, oh yeah, yeah. Racing, spray him with lava, kill him immediately.
So that's actually like the quickest win for the mimics of all time, because they're always trying to help each other.
They just raise people in the shins and get them to clump together for comfort.
So when Rita has the reset day power and she starts getting the visions, the alien mimics are just like convincing her to build a lava helmet.
Yeah,
so we hate lava.
That's something they could have done. Fuck, we hate lava so much.
Especially when spraying.
Yeah, that's, you can't control it. That has to be in a 360 degree continual spray.
We hate friendly fire. It kills us.
For every human that dies, 10 of us die.
Yeah, I think it's got legs and I stand by it.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially if you build it with legs. O'Neill, what have you got?
So mine are instead of metal suits, just magnet kamikaze suits. So all the mimics look like they're made of metal. Basically send people down in giant magnetized suits that you can turn on at a time of your choosing. They hop down, and then when they get close enough to a mimic, they just flip the switch. They get immediately drawn to it, stick to it, and then they flick another switch on the other side. They detonate themselves.
Oh, okay.
And then boom, you take one out with you.
Probably effective, but there were so many of them in the movie. Like they...
Oh, yeah.
I don't think they said it, but it seemed like they outnumbered humans.
It's not a well thought through...
Soldiers, at least.
Here's an idea. Make the bullets magnetized and then done.
So, yeah, but I kind of want... I want some more drama and human casualty.
Yeah, I like the imagery. It's a movie for sure.
I've got one. So...
Oh, nice.
In the training sequences, these giant claws that are flying around, Tom Cruise and Emily Blunt are shooting them and hacking them up, and they're just getting absolutely fucked up by these claws. And I thought, well, take those claws into battle. Just have like little...
Bring a movable ceiling.
Yeah, movable ceiling in and just start moving them around crazily, and then they'll just
You might be able to repurpose the ships to have them dangling down and move them around, so then they're not just costing lives by the dozen.
Yeah, just,
with
instead
their
of
wire delivery system.
Exactly, just swap it, retrofit the wire delivery system that takes the soldiers out of the planes and just put them down to the ground.
Yeah,
have
because it looked like the mimics didn't have much of ground to air capability. Like no one was, they weren't
was
flying
limited.
Or anything.
Yeah.
They can jump a bit, it looks like, but I don't think they're getting high enough to bring the ship down.
They do have a, but I don't feel like they're very effective.
Were there missiles flying around or something?
Yeah, they had like little energy. Another unanswered.
Oh, that was theirs, was it? I couldn't tell because I saw some missiles going around. I was like, oh, that just must be like humans blowing their load early.
It could have been. It wasn't clear, to be fair. So let's just assume that they don't have projectile weapons. And we have a special guest answer from Kirby Lucas. And her amazing weapon that she suggested was a gun that shoots banana peels at the mimics so that they slip over. And when they're slipped over, they're obviously vulnerable. very easy to kill. So I think that was a good one from Kirby. What do you guys think?
Yeah, that's good. And so that's twice Kirby's been on the show now. We're going to have to start charging her like an appearance fee.
she pays us.
Good idea, though, because they clearly have a weakness to bananas.
Yeah.
So my helmet, too, might shoot out bananas in 360-degree
arc. Yeah, so I like the combination.
Because then, yeah, you combine those two weapons together. Unstoppable. And banana peels are harmless to humans. We know that.
Oh, I like how
we've solved it. You've solved your chaotic weapon with banana peels. I like it.
Why did we go, banana peels, great. Spraying machine, great. And then my idea, which magnetizes them and kamikaze explodes, I don't know, there's just a few things I'd change about.
There's one big thing about it, yeah. Might have given us pause
with
that one.
It's probably like the guaranteed death. Yeah. I think in all the other scenarios,
even the lava scenario, risk of death, you can survive.
Yeah.
But the suicide kamikaze suit, not so much.
So hang on, to make these, just going back to the lava hat, is there like a...
Helmet.
Helmet? Is there like a tray mechanism that's like leads back to a volcano that's then somehow connected to the hats, the helmets?
No, so
to fill up the lava spray, or does it generate its own?
No, they have these backpacks full of lava, special made.
Just like canvas ones.
Yeah, the canvas with a very special lining that makes the lava not come out.
Before, do they have to like visit a volcano beforehand? Just like, your backpacks in.
They're stocking up, like. Yeah. Continuously, because you know it's their one weapon they have. Okay. So they're bleeding that volcano dry, sucking the earth dry.
The great volcano shortage of 2024.
The world, the repercussions for the earth are probably immeasurable. Worth it though.
Oh yeah.
To save humanity, hell's yeah. You sack a few volcanoes for that.
Tell me you got that. It's time for our next segment called Mimic Master Plan. And in this segment, we're going to put ourselves in the shoes of the aliens. What are we going to do differently? O'Neill, do you want to start?
The alphas are OP, if you use them right. The fact that they were being sent out to the point to areas where they could be killed and their blood could be spilled at all, I think was a huge blunder.
I don't know why they did that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's because they have to be there to learn, right?
Well, I mean, I don't see why they couldn't just like be watching over monitors. So my plan is that there's like a HQ where all the alphas are. Maybe it could be at the Omega. Basically just plugged in with like earpieces and sets, watching over monitors, like just checking in through different webcams, what their like little minions are doing. It's using their powers. If they just spot a human strategy that is successful that they're not a fan of, one of the alpha who sees that just pulls out a gun, blows their brains out, resets things, and immediately jumps back on board, goes back to the next day.
I think that's right, because they are all part of the same organism, as we find.
Yeah, they share consciousness, right? Is that what it says?
That's right.
Yeah.
So it's one big consciousness that would be extremely easy to play. And that's what I had. Just don't put your main blue alpha guys on the front line.
Yeah, that should work. They don't need to be there. Yeah, that's good. I mean, that's a good point, fellas.
And it's like an ultimate win.
I wonder if in the original content it says there's a good reason for them being there.
No, they leave so much unexplained. Yeah. I'm sure this is just another one of those things. Bennett, do you have one?
Yeah, I got one. You put the Omega in one of those Swiss bank accounts with the mad security, like in Tenet.
And tell the Swiss that they'll live like you let them live.
Well, then no one will ever gain access to that puppy, because the bank staff will never let anyone in. Only a few mimics have access. So, like, they put the integrity of the bank and the customers above the survival of humanity. That's just what they do.
So the humans looking after.
They allow, like, that area of humans to just continue business as usual.
So they cut a deal.
Yeah. We don't know the deal. It's like, we're just not going to kill you. That's the best deal they can hope for, really. They walk in, like, we're going to kill everyone right now unless you continue business as normal. And let us put our Omega under your underground, your big vault that you definitely have. Big enough to fit an Omega. They have it. No one's getting in there. It's impossible. Security's too good.
You know what I'm imagining, though? A sequel where the last remnants of humanity get in supercharged like muscle cars and like connect the vault to the back of the cars and drag the vault through the streets. The mimics are chasing them down the streets, Fast and Furious style. Yeah. And then eventually somehow they kill it.
Got that.
Next segment, fellas. This one's called Bad Cast.
Say it again. I made a noise the whole time.
This one's called Bad Cast. And in this segment, we're going to recast Tom Cruise, Emily Blunt, and Brendan Gleeson, who's the sergeant guy, with poorer choices. I'm going to kick off with Brendan Gleeson, who is the general guy. It's going to be the Cookie Monster from Sesame Street. I'm imagining when he first gets blackmailed by Tom Cruise and he like intimidates him out of the office, he's doing the same thing as Cookie Monster, chomping a cookie as he's doing it, and he's like really aggressive about it too.
Yeah. Is it a grizzly? So it's a grizzly take on Cookie Monster.
Like, oh yeah.
Is he
yeah.
is he played by the actual Cookie Monster? Is it somebody playing Cookie Monster playing?
It's the Cookie Monster.
Yeah, yeah.
My next one is Chris Farley as Bill Cage. I just think bumbling, sort of rotund, sort of character.
Dead.
Is the corpse of Chris Farley playing Bill Cage. And Elizabeth McCarthy as Emily Blunt. I just think that would be hilarious. Imagine Elizabeth McCarthy. No, Melissa McCarthy.
Oh,
Melissa yeah. McCarthy, sorry.
It's always Melissa McCarthy.
It's always Melissa McCarthy.
She's coming up more than Rodney Dangerfield at this point.
Yeah, just imagine when she's doing her like push-up kind of, I guess it's kind of sexual, but it's Melissa McCarthy. I just thought that'd be funny. Bennett, hit us with your recast.
Yep.
Bad cast.
Would love to. So for Tom Cruise, I've got a sentient plastic bag with Rodney Dangerfield's face drawn on it with Texter.
Oh yeah.
So that's good.
Fun fact, they were considered for the role and they got to the second round of interviews.
Yeah. They just went with Tom in the end because
he's got that star point.
He kind of cracked the shit to me. He said, this is unprofessional. Get me in. They threatened legal action, basically. So for Emily Blunt's character, I've got Daenerys from Game of Thrones. Because she talked the talk a lot, but put her in a combat situation, she would just die instantly. I don't think she was ever in a combat situation, was she?
No. So I think, yeah, she could negotiate with the mimics if given the chance, but I don't think she could.
Yeah, but that would do her. Shit.
No,
they would kill her on the side.
She could become their queen.
Yeah.
Yeah, she could try. And then instead of Brendan Gleeson, you have David Schwimmer.
Ooh.
And he just keeps saying, I'm the Schwanzer.
Okay.
And he just keeps saying, I'm the swim master. I was in... Don't laugh. And he just keeps saying, I'm the swim master. I was in Band of Brothers. Over and over again. People would hate that.
What about, in addition, he would say, we were on a break. Just really, like, with no context.
Yeah, but there's too many Friends fans out there.
Yeah, you're
and
right.
They like
and
it
I don't
much.
Want that. I don't want to give them any more.
Yeah. Okay. What Zach
enough.
Said was reasonable. What you said was dumb.
Yeah, that's too much.
What if he's in a Lamborghini the whole time?
Oh, yeah. Well, naturally.
Well, that's different.
That
that's
a
swim master move.
That kind of levels out the field. Yeah.
That's exactly what the swim master would do.
Does he kind of give off, like, stiff old vibes?
Well, if he's in a Lamborghini, yes.
Okay.
By default.
Does he try to bang the aliens?
But I'm not convinced in my mind he's in a Lamborghini. He's not very Stifler-like. He's kind of like David Schwimmer in Band of Brothers,
okay.
If you've seen
just
that.
Clueless. Just clueless.
Okay.
Always getting lost. Can't read a map.
He thinks
can't
he's
command.
Top shit, but everyone hates him, and he's just like a real stickler for the rules, and he's very incompetent himself
and he says
in an actual combat situation.
So Emily Blunt could be replaced with Nicole Kidman or perhaps any of Tom's ex-partners. That would be bad because maybe they would actually kind of go full throttle in the fight scenes where they have to like make him a warrior and actually follow through.
And they probably have like no chemistry as well.
Yeah, 100%. You can tell that they have no potential for love because they had it and then it died. So it comes out on the screen. And
that's my favorite kind of love, really. Just dead love. Remnants, bitter. I think that just would make the movie better, to be honest.
And their characters would refuse to smile at one another, even when they're meant to. They won't do the kiss at the end. Or
to be fair, the characters barely smile at each other for the whole movie. It's mainly focused on either destroying claws or mimics. That's about it.
Tom cares a little bit, but
he
Emily
does.
Blunt never gives anything,
no.
which is nice. At the end, she kind of warms up a little bit.
What's her middle name?
Rose.
Hey.
Eagle Eye Steel Trap.
Yeah.
Oh, Rose in the movie?
In the movie.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, nice.
Emily Blunt. I don't know what Emily Blunt's middle name is.
Yeah.
John Krasinski.
Speaking of, he was my choice for Bill Cage, and it ruins the movie because he's got too much chemistry for immediately, and you can tell they're just like lovebirds on set, and he's always like he kind of also triggers his The Office training where he's like he goes into like rom-com kind of romance will they won't they mode. and he triggers him to start like looking at the camera constantly, and he kind of
and that gets them killed because he's distracted.
It means that they have to hold shooting because they can't like stop him from kind of looking at the camera. He's getting like
damn it, Johnny did it again.
It's too lovey-dovey.
And Emily will divorce him because he's really holding up progress in the movie, and she's like just getting so pissed off with him.
Yeah, she's the ultimate professional. We know that about Emily.
Yeah. She just wants to get the job done, and he keeps going through his office ways. Yeah,
he loves reverting back to his office.
Does he love it, or is he just can't help it?
He actually hates it. It's too ingrained from like 9 years of the show. Yeah. It's
a big problem for him. He's been seeking help for the last 10 years to try and get it sorted.
He keeps breaking down, and any time there's like a moment where it's supposed to be like, oh, this is a hint of shadowing that there's going to be a relationship later on, like he kind of just like, oh, cranes his neck and is like, I'm sorry guys, I did it again, and like, yeah, it's okay, we'll try again.
Imagine just like put a stick like through his spine or whatever, and just to hold his head straight so he can't even like, and you can see his eyes always darting, but they never quite can make it because the camera's just out of
increases the budget of the movie with all the operations they have to do to give him like a limited spine range, like to CGI his eyes so his pupils actually look like they're focusing on the spot they're meant to.
Yeah,
it really drains the budget.
The movie released a year and a half later than it was supposed to, just because of that. They're behind schedule.
They filmed like 2/3 of the movie with him, but they're just like the scenes with Emily Blunt, they could not get through, and they had to.
Yeah. So that last third took an extra year and a half. Yeah. It was brutal.
And then they
from
had to
all accounts
recast and start from scratch with Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
My last one is the general. The worst casting choice would be to just cast him as David Miscavige, the head of Scientology, and because he's so protective of Tom, and he's like their poster child, and they're so crucial to Scientology. Instinctively, he can't stop himself every single take. Every time Tom Cruise is like, "You can't send me to war," he's like, "Oh no, of course not. We're not going to send you to war. You're too valuable." And then it ends there, and he just doesn't go to war.
Tell me you got that. Ben, I want to ask you, if you were Bill Cage, what would you do once you realized that you could live the same day over and over with no consequences?
That's an interesting question. Is this the next segment?
Yeah. Yes, this is the next segment, and it's called Look at Me, You're the Tom Cruise Now. What would you do, Ben?
One thing I would want to do is once I break free from the military base or whatever, and roaming free, like when he goes to the pub and gets called a coward. So he's free roaming his motorbike around. I would look for the first under-9 sports game I could find going on anywhere in the city. Just the first one I see. Just get in there, join in, start dominating mid-game. Just start like dunking over anyone, or like taking huge specs all over the place, assuming they play some AFL, or like decking kids left and right. Just dominating. And like it'd be up to the point when the parents have to forcibly remove me and start beating the shit out of me for decking their kids and ruining their game. And then I just shoot myself.
And you do that day in, day out.
I do it at least once. It's probably just one. You didn't say with the goal to save the humanity.
No, it just says what would he do?
Yeah, I didn't say the goal to save humanity.
I thought you were going to say like, what does that do for the greater good?
That'd be good.
But you didn't.
What does that do for the greater good?
Yeah, nothing. No, that's just one thing of. There's probably a million things, but that's what I thought of, and that's there, and that's that.
Have you got any more?
No, that's that.
I think it's a good one because I feel like under-9 sports kids have had too good for too long.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I think.
I think that would really resonate with audiences.
They've been asking for it for a while now.
It could turn into like a Simpsons moment where Homer enters the nuclear power plant diorama competition and then he's like, yeah, you know what? This kid's kicking, like, beating their brains out. Go Zach, hell yeah. Yeah. Everyone rallies around you and you have the best day of your life.
Yeah, I really hope that doesn't happen.
All the little kids, like, cheer you off.
Even the ones whose, like, noses have been broken in by you.
So he's like really creepy, like coaches, like trying to sign you up for their sports teams.
This guy's unstoppable. Oh, but also my teammates won't cheer me off because I'll be decking them as well because I don't want them to score or kick goals or whatever. As soon as they get the ball, I'm just knocking them over, taking the ball off them. So
they got high five you, punch them in the face.
they all hate me.
But what if it's like the team that's lost every game for the season? It's the first game they've ever won, and they like are happy to take hits to the face just to win a game.
Well, then I say, victory. Fucking joke's on you, shoot myself, reset the day, and they never get that again.
just before they win the game.
Yeah, okay. So just all they see in that instance is them, you saying, joke's on you, shooting yourself, collapsing the floor.
That's that.
And then go, oh, okay.
And they don't, they can't, and of course, they, someone shoots himself on the field, they're probably not going to continue playing the game. They'll probably just end the game there. So probably. No one wins. All right, I'm going to end mine real quick. Taylor Swift concert.
What?
What's yours, Sam?
Elaborate.
That's it?
Yeah, Taylor Swift concert.
There's just one on that day? Okay, yeah. Is there one on that day?
I think so.
You'd have to hope so, wouldn't you? Look,
just check Facebook or
she's
Instagram.
She's not playing like
she's
daily.
She's playing daily.
Not in 2014.
In my movie, she's playing she daily. Might be,
all right, well, that's lucky.
And
that's
you
lucky.
Go daily.
And I go daily. Yes. And I
start, and, so how many...
and I start right up the back, so I experience it really far away. And every day I just move one seat closer. Oh,
so your beachfront war is the crowd. You're getting a bit further every day.
That's right. Yeah. And but and you know, and then I once I've sat in every seat and seen it from every angle, then I can move on to the next, maybe, I don't know, Avril Lavigne or something.
Yeah, are you a fan of Taylor Swift?
Ooh, no. But in the movie I am.
Yeah. Well, in the movie.
It's better than nothing. It's better than
ask me to name a song. Ask me to name,
name a song.
Oh, I couldn't tell you. What do you got, Anil?
Mine's a two-parter. So mine is, I would go full coward mode, would never let them take me anywhere near the war, would try to use all the diplomacy skills I had, would try to kind of like, instead of going towards battle and trying to improve on the battle each day, I would try to diplomatically kind of like learn as much as I could and strategically kind of, you know, get further and further out. If I can get off, get to that bar, I can get to the outside world, I can kind of like, you know, maybe reach officials and talk to them and do stuff like that. If that fails, I'll go a bit more extreme. I'll start like scooping out a bit of my blood and then try to race as close to the general as I can and just try to like get him to open his mouth, get it down him, or like get a syringe, stick him with it, get some of my time blood in him, and then rock up the next day and be like, hey, this is the second time we're having this conversation. He goes, yes, he's in on it with me.
So, wait, you want
to... Doesn't he just like, take over the power?
I only let him have a little bit.
Well, I don't know how... Yeah,
oh, it works, I've checked.
Because the other guy dies.
Nah, it checks out. If you
but
do...
Then, but then how... They're both living separate realities, but they're together somehow.
Yeah.
Or they're both waking up at
it's
the
like
same time.
Palm Springs.
So
where...
if one dies, they both start again. Is that what you're saying?
I guess so, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And then it starts evening the odds. And then we start, like, once I've got him on, it becomes much easier. Hopefully, we can, like, spread enough of our blood to enough of people high up that we get everybody on board and really start going at it. And then we start shooting ourselves in the head to reset the deal on them, see how they like it.
Surely Emily Blunt's character thought about that and tried that, and it must have
been...
She
never did talk. She said she tried everything.
She did say everything.
There was a deleted scene, if you go, and it says, yeah, everything except sharing my blood with other people. I don't know if that would work. Maybe that would work.
Surely that would be the very first thing you try.
And yet...
She didn't.
She didn't. I guarantee you. Don't ask me how I know.
It's a good idea, though.
It's a great idea.
Unless it...
It works.
Unless it transfers to the general and you lose it, and then he wakes up.
As long as you
it's
keep
probably
some of
in
it
in better hands anyway, isn't it?
But as long as you keep some of it in your veins, what's the...
You don't know how that's going to work out. It's a big gamble.
They have multiple alphas.
Yeah.
Why could we not have multiple humans with it in their blood?
Well, I don't know.
It seems like a binary situation of like, you either have it or you don't.
Probably
works. You could get the blood from one of the other alphas.
Yeah. You could go alpha hunting as a group.
You could hunt that one alpha that got him in the first place.
Yeah. In fact, don't even kill them off entirely. Leave the hive intact. Get so strong and dominant that you have like alpha blood in a bunch of you. Become a super powerful Illuminati type organization that has the ability to reset time whenever they die.
Think of all the Lamborghinis you could buy.
Exactly.
With his power.
So yeah. Where does the losing the ability come into it though? Because the alpha that died, apparently they lost it.
Oh, well, we don't know that they lost it.
Went to Tom Cruise.
They just let a little bit of the blood into him.
They said they lost the ability, and so they want to get
it
back.
The alpha lost the ability.
Yeah, they want to get it back.
That doesn't... I feel like they just like... Because they didn't let out all their blood.
So if any of the alphas killed themselves at any time, it would reset and Tom Cruise would be doing it for nothing.
Tom Cruise, what do you mean doing it for nothing?
Like, whatever actions you took that day guaranteed to not be...
Yeah, whoever has alpha blood in them, whoever kills themselves first resets the day.
Why don't they share consciousness with the other alphas then?
That's why he kind of gets the visions, but he's still human. He's not like...
Alright, well, how about... Yeah, that makes sense. How about this? You're saying that they all share...
I got this all figured
they
out.
They all share one reality together, the alphas and all the humans that are sharing the blood. So if any one of them dies, the day resets, they're all learning.
Well, they've all
but
got
they're
that
not
ability.
Learning. The alphas aren't learning. The mimics aren't learning with Tom Cruise. It's just him.
No, just him. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so if they did have the ability still, they would learn with him, but they don't.
No. They have the ability to reset the day with their blood. It doesn't mean that they're connected to each other, but like mentally.
So what you're saying? So you're saying they got two realities going at the same time?
No, not reality. It's just like there's the one reality. Whoever has the blood in them and kills himself resets the time for everybody. But they have a hive mind where they seem to be integrated with each other,
right.
Like telepathically. Whatever.
But how come
it is,
they're not learning?
But we don't.
If they're all sharing the same ability still.
I mean, they learn whatever they learn.
They learn nothing because only Tom Cruise learning.
No, but they could learn
they
stuff.
They do exactly the same thing every day. That's why he's able to learn exactly what to do every
day.
Yeah,
there are plot holes in the movie, but my plan is 100% airtight.
Tell me you got that. I've got a question for you, Bennett.
Yeah?
Have you got up your sleeve an alternative way that the movie could have ended?
Yeah.
And is it part of a segment called M. Night Shyamalan Remix?
It is, yeah. Yeah, so my alternate ending is that when he dies the first time, he actually becomes a mimic himself, like, and he's in on their side, like he's working for them. Like, his job is from then on to every day, infiltrate the humans, learn as much as he can about them and what their secret weapons might be, what they're up to. So after all that happens, when he gets into see the general and he learns that all they have is, like, their best shot at beating them is to get someone with their alpha blood inside them so they can get the time looping power, and then to jab them with the device to figure out where the Omega is, and then to kill them that way. That's when Tom Cruise finds out that's their best shot at beating them, he leaves the building just like laughing because he knows they're fucked. They got nothing. And then he walks out, shoots himself, resets the day one more time now that he knows everything that the humans know, which is like nothing because they're useless. Assassinates Emily Blunt just to get like their best fighter out of the way. Then gives himself a blood transfusion so that he loses the power. And then Tom Cruise has to wake up with all that knowledge, and then he knows that humanity is completely fucked because they've got nothing.
But he's back on their side.
Yeah, no, he's back to human now. He's human again because he got the blood transfusion, so the mimic blood is not like taking over him anymore. And the movie ends with that final battle going ahead as it is like foretold at the start, a complete bloodbath for humanity. They lose.
Yeah, nice. So do we not know the entire time that he's on their side?
Oh, the viewers. Oh, okay. Yeah. You find out when he walks out after being in the office with the guy, after he gets the device.
And there's a huge
and he walks
camera
out,
exposition where he says, I was on the other side all the time.
He walks out smiling, like really like, you know, maniacally or whatever. You're like, what the hell? Why is he smiling like that? Then he just literally pulls out a gun in that moment, shoots himself, wakes up again. And so you're like, what the hell's going on? Then he goes and kills Emily Blunt. Now you're like, what the fuck? What's he doing? And then he, I don't know, sends an email to him and says, hey guys, they've got nothing.
Mission complete, what do now? Bleed yourself out.
Blood transfusion, you're out. They're like, yeah, fuck yeah, we did it.
I might go on the next one. So my alternative ending is events sort of still transpire as they do in the film, but every time he resets, he slowly develops like the exterior features of an alpha. So he starts to get kind of this growth on his leg.
Yeah.
He sort of starts to get these like metallic looking sores on his leg, which he hides from Emily Blunt. And he's still like kind of in control, but he slowly like morphs into a alpha. He ends up killing the Omega, but in his next reset, he like fully turns into an alpha without a host. He saves humanity, but at the cost of being like forever an alpha hiding underneath destroyed Paris. He gives little flowers to Emily Blunt through the sewers. Like on that.
So why did he survive? Like, oh, because he's not connected to their hive mind.
Yeah. So he's still an alpha, but he's still got human blood.
And he pushes little flowers out through the cracks in the road or something.
Yeah, and Emily picks it up and sniffs it. And goes,
what's she doing
it
there?
It smells like petrol.
This is shit. I hate this.
Yeah, I hate something. But he's not, he doesn't understand.
Who would give me this?
He's really angry about it.
How does he know, like, she's passing. He can see through the crack.
Yeah, he sees the train. He's watching because he's quite like the way he moves. He can kind of like get through cracks and kind of morph his body.
And no one ever finds him.
But
he just lives underground.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like a tragic ending.
It kind of reminds me of was it 11?
District 9.
District 9.
It's pretty much District 9. I've read District Book, District 9 style.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. It's like an eerily disturbing kind of like ending.
Yeah. She just gets pissed off every time.
Yeah, but
you can just walk around the flowers, doesn't have to look into the source.
She still picks
them up. Surely makes a point of it. It's like,
fuck.
I thought I was done
walking
with
here.
Because she used to be a florist before the war. She hated it.
It triggers her.
Yeah.
It
really
so you, but he doesn't understand that she hates it.
he doesn't understand.
She's loving this. I'm going to do two tomorrow.
O'Neill, you got one?
What do you got, O'Neill?
So mine is just that the explosion that they used to kill the Omega, because it sends them back further than they jumped before. It sends him back to when he's in the helicopter coming down. In this situation, the explosion goes way further than that, sends them back like a year. Then we cut to the planet where the mimics are about to launch their asteroid out from. And then it just kind of, the mimics in it fizzle and die, and they say that, and like, oh, okay, we didn't send enough. And then they just start to like make a way, way bigger army to send to the next asteroid. And then it fades to black and says, get ready for Edge of Tomorrow 2 today.
Tell me you got that. So that's all we've got time for today. I want to thank our sponsor, Cumsoak Jeans. All right, that's all we've got time for today. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Next time, we're going to do Constantine, so come and get your dicks out nice and long and hard for that one, because it's going to be really good cum-soaked jeans. All right, you better do it, because I'm going to keep doing that.
Well, that's all we got time for. Thanks for listening, guys. Tune in for the next episode where we talk about Constantine. And as for now, I've been Hayden.
I've been Sam.
And I've been Zach and cum-soaked jeans.
Not
I tried not to. I really did. All right, let's make a pact now.
Okay.
I'm not going to do it
you
again.
You get one more.
Are you going to do it again? No, I'm out. I'm done.
Hayden gets two if he wants them, though.
If you want them, that's why good you're
it's
starting.
It's only fair.
I'm out. I'm promising.
So that's all we got time for. I've been Consult James. No, so that's all we got time for. Listen to the next pod where we talk about Constantine. See you next time. I've been Hayden.
I've been Sam.
And I've been Zach.
See you next time.
Thanks, guys. Love you.
Love you.
Come searching.
Bye.
Bye.
Tell me you got that.